Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. You're listening to The Balance Podcast with me, Fiona Bugler, a wellbeing and health journalist with a passion for living better. Each episode, I speak to inspiring people from all walks of life who share their stories and journeys about living well, and I find out more about what motivates and inspires them. In doing so, we hope to share some nuggets, takeaways and thoughts and ideas that will resonate with you. When you listen to these stories, we want you to go away with an action point or a thinking point to help you live your life a little better. Hi and welcome to The Balance Podcast. Today I'm delighted to be talking to Lily Sabry. She's a fitness influencer and an entrepreneur. And she's the founder of Lean, which is an online workout organisation with a global community. Her home workout videos aimed at young women saw her YouTube channel rocket from 30,000 to almost 3 million subscribers in the last year. She's also an accredited NHS physiotherapist who has also worked with elite football teams, and she's got a passion for food. And the Lean platform also features delicious Mediterranean-inspired healthy recipes. Lily, you've achieved so much. It's such an impressive profile. And I've only given a little tiny snapshot of you and what you do. So we'll find out more. But I have heard that you only started 7 years ago teaching Pilates in a church hall.
Yeah.
And now you've got 3 million subscribers on your channel. So in your words, if you can tell me about your journey from here to now, I'd really love to hear
that. Yeah, of course. So thank you so much for having me on, first of all. It feels really, really lovely to be chatting to you. It's so funny that you say only 7 years, because honestly, the 7 years feels like about 70 years of graft to get. Yeah. And it's only really, you know, only taken off in the last 18 months. The 5.5 years prior to that were, yeah, it was knocking on many, many, many doors with none opening, to be totally honest. So yeah, background, I studied physiotherapy in Manchester, UK, and I graduated 10 years ago now. I've always had like a huge passion for sport and fitness and health and just general like well-being and helping people. I always remember speaking to my mum when I was younger, and I was a like elite level swimmer, and she's a nurse in the NHS, and she was saying, you know, what do you think you want to be when you're older? And I honestly had no idea. And I knew that I had a passion for sports and a passion for helping people. And she said to me, oh, you know, I've seen in the NHS, in the hospitals, these young, fit physios walking around, and they help people get out of pain and rehabilitate them back to fitness and sport. And it kind of clicked then, where it was like, okay, yeah, that could be an avenue for me. And it all just kind of fell into place from there. So that's the early days. Graduated 10 years ago. Always knew that I wanted the sports side of things, but with physio, the same as with medicine, you kind of specialize, well, you do junior rotations, it's called. So you go around the hospital doing 4 to 6 months in each discipline and kind of work out what avenue you want to go in. So I started off back in London. That was my first job in the NHS. Tried out loads and loads of different things, all from like pediatrics to care of the elderly to respiratory physio, and ended up finding myself falling back into the musculoskeletal side of things and the sports side of things. So that was when I started volunteering at football clubs. I'd work, you know, the normal hours of a physio, traveling like 2 hours across London from North London to Lewisham, 2 to 2.5 hours, get home at 7, 8 p.m, then volunteer at football clubs from 8 till 10, then go home, then repeat. And, you know, had no life outside of work, but knew that my passion lied in trying to be one of the first female physiotherapists in professional football. And that was kind of a real focus for me. And I grafted away until I made it happen. Alongside of that, I started to kind of find a passion in the like strength and conditioning side of things. So how do you make an elite sports person even better at what they do? How can you prevent them from injuring themselves? How can you make their core stronger so that they can run faster, so that they can kick the ball harder, so that they can prevent injuries, all of these things? And I found that a lot of that lied in Pilates. So that core strength, that core control, how can you really focus on building those muscles that are so often neglected? And that came into play initially for sports people, 100%, because I was working in the football clubs. But then it got me thinking, why are we not doing this for the general public? You know, yoga is so, so popular, and yoga is amazing, absolutely amazing. But Pilates wasn't having its limelight at all. And when you ask the average person on the street, have you tried Pilates before? They'll be like, oh no, I don't like stretching. Or they'll think it's yoga. They don't know what Pilates is. There's a very fine line between most people knowing what the difference is. So that then encouraged me to train up as a Pilates instructor, did my basic training, and then eventually kind of ended up becoming a physio specialist in Pilates. So the course that I did only allowed physios onto it because they wanted you to have that anatomical background, you know, your degree, rather than just anyone walking in and doing the course. So it was a very, very specialist course that I did. And then I got this qualification and I was like, oh, what do I do with it now? You know, so I started in the football club. Amazing. We got incredible results. I was doing one-to-ones. I was doing classes from the youngsters up to like first team. Amazing results. But then it got me thinking, okay, slight businesswoman in me, which, by the way, I have zero training. This is all self-taught. How can I make a little bit of extra cash out of this? Because I was earning far from a great wage. Yeah. So that got me thinking, right, where is there a hall around where I live? And I'm from a pretty small village in the outskirts of London. Okay, I found a church hall. Rental was like £40 or something. Right, so if I charge £10 per head, I've got to get four people to break even. This is literally what's going through my head. How do I advertise these classes? And I didn't have any social media at the time, literally nothing. So I invested what for me was a huge amount of money at the time, like £250, to print out some leaflets. And I go around with my little bag, delivering them door to door, going into nail salons, putting 50 down, like, oh my gosh, that could be 50 potential clients, you know? And then within the next week, absolutely nothing, no phone calls. I think I got one and I was like, okay, this isn't going to get me very far. Went into the football club, told the youngsters about it, told like the 16, 17, 18 year olds. And they pretty much laughed. In a kind-ish way, where they were like, because we had very, very good, you know, like we were very good at chatting to each other. And they just basically said, that's not how you advertise nowadays. There's such thing as Twitter. There's such thing as Instagram. Like flyers aren't going to cut it. So they there and then, and at the time I said to them, I do not have time to set up a social media account. Like I'm working the NHS. I'm working my evenings and my weekends for free at football clubs. I don't have time for social media. And they helped me. They helped me set up a Twitter account. Within a week, I would say I had like 1,000 followers because they had retweeted for me, and they all have these followings, right? So they'd retweeted for me. So I end up getting all of these followers through who are football fans who certainly don't want to do Pilates. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, what am I going to do with these football fans? Like they're not going to come to my Pilates classes, but they have wives and girlfriends who potentially might, and mums and sisters. We ended up, I launched my first class. I think I had my mum, four of her friends, my sister, and maybe three paying clients. And I was like, there's potential here. And that was the beginning. And then, you know, we started taking things online. I realized that I could actually grow an audience online and I could grow it globally. I gave for free I only started monetizing with the app, you know, 4 months ago. So that's nearly 7 years of free workouts, nearly every single day. Like 7 years, it feels like a lifetime, actually, that I've been doing the online thing. But, you know, fast forward.
You can tell how hard you've worked, you know, and anyone, I mean, years ago, I've taught classes as well. Anyone who does that kind of thing, it takes a lot of grit and it takes... You know, it's a brave thing to go out and start delivering leaflets and setting up Twitter accounts and everything. But I mean, you must have learned so much in that 7 years to go from not using social media to where you are now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's incredible what you picked up.
For sure.
I mean, the filming and everything and all the quality that you what you produce, is it all self-taught?
I mean, I was dreadful at the beginning, I have to say. Like when I look back at my first ever YouTube video, funny enough, we were in LA. I've been like nominated for an influencer award over there. So we were in LA about a month ago, my partner and I, and we were hiking up Runyon Canyon. And I said to him, 5 years ago, I hiked up here on my own with a backpack, a tripod, a camera, and we looked back at the video, and it is the most awful quality. I'm not even in the center of the screen. You can barely hear me. I'm shouting over the wind. And it actually felt amazing because I was like, this is where I've come from and this is where I am now. And I think with any of these things, it's self-taught. Yes, I'm far from tech savvy. I'm absolutely dreadful, like naturally, which I think will shock a lot of people. I really am bad, but I'm very creative. So it's one of them things. There's a resilience in me that if I need to learn something, I will, and I will graft until I've got it to the standard that I want it. With the tech side of things, I actually met Alex, my partner, who's actually my business partner as well, 5 years ago. And it's him who encouraged me to get on YouTube, because YouTube's been the mother platform for me. It's been where I've managed to get my personality across, where people really get to learn who I am. And I guess it's kind of like Marmite, you love or hate the creator that you watch and you realize if that's your vibe or not. And, you know, I won't be everyone's vibe. I'm probably too happy and energetic for some people, and that's okay. They'll go and find someone else. But yeah, I very much found my feet on YouTube, and I honestly wouldn't have even explored it if it wasn't for Alex, my partner. Prior to that, I was just doing the Instagram, and, you know, that's very curated Instagram normally. It's pictures that are quite posed, as you probably know. Whereas YouTube, you are unapologetically yourself. And when he first met me, I think it was the third sentence that came out of his mouth. He just said, "Are you on YouTube?" And I was like, "No." And he said, "Your personality and energy belongs on YouTube. You need to find the time for it." And again, it was another one of those, "I'm a physiotherapist and I do this and I do this and I don't have time for YouTube," because YouTube is so time consuming. But, you know, fast forward 5 years, I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, 3 million is, you know, I used to work in magazines and stuff like that, and people, you know, that's a huge amount of subscribers, a huge of people consuming your content. Really impressive. And I mean, you talk about graft a lot, and you mentioned you're a national level swimmer, I think you said that, and I've read that you are, you know, you're basically a natural sports person. Do you think you've got a bit of a winning mindset? Do you apply the principles of sport to how you work?
I think subconsciously, yes. It's a really interesting one, because I'm not outwardly competitive, actually. I have that kind of intrinsic, extrinsic personality. You know, when I'm in front of the camera, if I have a huge room of girls who want to come and work out with me, I thrive off of the energy, and I'm very much that team player. I love that energy exchange, and I feel really outgoing. But then I need that downtime as well. I really need that, like, come home, be on my own, recharge. And that applies to the way that I do sport as well. So it's always been the case, even when I was competing at a very, very high level, I would be the quiet one in the corner. And it's very much the self-talk rather than the outward competitiveness. And I think that's just in me. It's the same with confidence. Like, people are often like, "Oh, you're super confident," but actually I'm not. I really doubt myself. I really, really doubt myself. I'm the worst person with conflict, especially as we've grown the business, like learning to have those very important conversations as a woman who's, you know, working with a mixed team, but with a lot of men. I'm not great at, if I see something's wrong, I'm not great at delivering the harsh messages that sometimes have to come across. So I am someone who doubts myself, and I've just had to learn that I need to kind of put on different hats depending on what position I'm playing, because I'm the front face of the business, but I'm also the businesswoman behind it, and it's quite hard to play both roles.
Yeah, I bet it is. And I always wonder what it's like to be an influencer. I mean, you know, I assume you have to be posting all the time. And, you know, how does it impact on you? Like, if, you know, if you're feeling like the confidence might have taken a dip one day, or you get some trolls. I mean, I saw you talking about people calling you assumptions, making assumptions about you, saying you were spoiled and things. I mean, that must be really hard. So how do you deal with all of that?
It's tough. I think the beauty of what we've created, we call our audience the Familia, because it really is a family. Yeah. And, you know, our audience is like 99.7% women or something. It's all women, really. And I am unapologetic in the way that I tell and show the way I'm feeling. And I've learned that that's the best way to be. So, you know, if I am feeling low on confidence, or even recently, you know, I've had some time off of training because it was my friend's wedding and I've been in Italy and I was the bridesmaid and, you know, I haven't been on it as I normally would be. And I'm honest about that. You know, I'm supposed to be the inspiring one who's teaching you, but I'm telling you the truth. I just tried one of my own workouts yesterday and I couldn't make it. You know, like, I'm going to be honest with the familiar, because we all have times when we're not feeling as good. We all have times where we're not feeling as confident. But I have the tools to help all of us, including myself, feel better. And that doesn't mean that you're going to feel amazing every single day. I think we've got to be realistic with that. But, you know, exercise, eating healthily is going to give you the power and the tools to live your best life. But it doesn't mean that every day is going to be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, listen, being an influencer, if you want to call it that, content creator, all of this is... it's a tough job. It is a 24/7 job, and you've got to have some form of boundaries. I think you need to set the boundaries very early. As an example, one of mine is family. So I never ever show any of my family. I'm from a very, very traditional family of, you know, teachers, doctors, nurses, that type of thing. And none of them want to be on, they don't have social media. So I'll never show my family. So that was one boundary that was put in place. Another one is, you know, as we're growing the business and as I'm attempting to have a work-life balance, we're trying to clock off by like 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night. Otherwise I'll literally work through the night, quite literally. And it's not good for me. It's not good for my mental health. And it's not a good example to be setting everyone. And I'm aware of that. But everything has happened so fast over the last couple of years or year and a half that I describe it often that I'm in this hamster wheel, and I'm worried that if I stop for a second, the momentum will stop. And I'm aware it's not good. And I'm putting boundaries in place and routines in place to try and have some downtime.
Well, good for you. Because I mean, I can't imagine how difficult it is to be on all the time. You know, it's bad enough when you're looking at social media and going, you know, they will say we're all on 24 hours. But to be that and you are the product, it's really hard. But you're doing a good job of it. And I saw that you talked about routine, actually. It's interesting. I'm jumping to my further on questions. Yeah. But healthy habits are really important, aren't they? And you did talk about the importance of, like, you get up and you breathe and you journal. But, you also did that lovely video and said you didn't have, like, do sit-ups and have avocado and toast the first thing in the morning. But, well, I mean, I think, tell me about routine and why it's important to you and some of your healthy habits that kind of sustain you.
Yeah, so for me, it's more around the mental health side of things. The physical health is, I guess, ticked off for me anyway, because I'm having to do, not having, that's the wrong word, but, you know, it's my job to work out.
It's part of your routine.
But the mental health is something that I have learned the hard way from burnout and from, you know, really, really suffering from overdoing it, and the emotional side of things, that I need time for me. Prior to all of this happening, exercise was actually my release. It was my way of recharging. It was my way of taking some time for myself. You know, I'd go and do a class myself and be taught and not have to think and just switch off. Now, yes, I'm exercising, but I'm on. I'm totally on while I'm teaching that class. I'm thinking about my goals. I'm thinking about the audience and what they need. I'm not thinking about myself. So the one thing that I do every single day without fail is walk my dog, which, yes, is exercise. It's walking, but to me, walking is just such an outlet. It's not something that I find physically demanding. I have my phone on me more from like a safety point of view, but I try to put it in my pocket and put it away. And I just literally have some time walking Teddy, and it just helps to clear my head. And I do find that I'm often going back into those, like, oh, this of work and that of work, but I try to snap myself back out of it. So something as simple as that, honestly, it's just, I often say it, and it sounds probably quite silly to a lot of people, but walking Teddy is one of the highlights of my day.
I mean, that's a healthy thing to do, definitely. And I can see how, particularly in your line of work, that you need that space. Anything else?
Yeah, for sure. So journaling has been a really big one for me, actually, because it's strange, because I'm actually quite heavily dyslexic. So I'm a talker. I'm really good at communicating verbally. And I'm very good with video. But if you give me something to write, like, you know, bearing in mind, like, you know, I have my degree and I'm a good academic achiever, but I'm a very different style of learning. So writing when someone first suggested journaling to me, I had this almost like kind of anxiety type of thing where I was like, oh, I can't do that. That it honestly makes me think stress. Yeah. But then I realized that there's no expectations with it. It doesn't have to be neat. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. It's quite literally, excuse my French, but verbal diarrhea going down on paper. And it's just,
absolutely. Brain dump. It just gets
it's a
out.
Brain dump. It quite literally is. And I look back at it sometimes and I'm like, whoa, is that where I was at? You know, like it's really nice to look back at it. And it's quite literally just bullet points of what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, where I'm at, what I feel I've maybe not done and should be doing. Even, you know, things from a more personal point of view, like reaching out to friends and making time for certain people. It's just a way of me getting a little bit deeper into my thoughts and feelings and just putting it down on paper in the knowledge that no one else is going to read it. And I find it really freeing, actually. So journaling has been big for me. And walking Teddy has been very good. And then also just a morning routine of I make a smoothie every single day and a juice every single day. Sounds really silly, you know, but it actually
makes a difference
to me. It just gets me in the mood for the day. It's the point now where I wake up in the morning and I actually want it and crave it. And it's so healthy and delicious. So yeah.
Yeah. And what do you put in yours? Is it the same every day or do you vary your recipes?
It's pretty much the same every day. Sometimes I'll vary a little bit. So the smoothie is it's a coffee-based smoothie. So I'll have like a double shot of espresso in there, sometimes a single, but normally double. Some nut milk and then protein powder, again, good for recovery, muscle growth, all of that. So that's my protein powder, the lean one in vanilla. And then sometimes some peanut butter and a frozen banana. So when you blend it up, it's like really thick and creamy. So it's not my breakfast. People are often like, is that all you have for breakfast? Definitely not. I love my food, but it's a really good way of like getting some nice, yummy, delicious nutrients in, some calories in and starting the day. And then juice.
Kind of like bulletproof coffee.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Sorry. It is. Yeah.
Bulletproof coffee.
It literally, it gets you in the zone and gets you in the mood for, a nice little day. And then the juice is always carrot, apple, ginger. So high anti-inflammatory and really good for your skin and glow and all of that.
Yeah, brilliant. So you do that every day. So you journal, walk the dog, it's give you a bit of headspace. And I can understand why all those things would matter. And like the journaling, when nobody's going to see it, I can imagine that would be important because you are seen all the time.
All the time.
And do you talk about your journaling with your on your channel at all? Do your followers?
Yeah, so I actually opened up to them about the dyslexia actually around, it would have been about 9 months ago, because it's something that I've always been really, for better use of a word, like really embarrassed of. And that falls through even from school. You know, I was at school, it's not crazy long ago, but it was at a time where dyslexia wasn't known really. And even if it was known, you were put in a class with people who didn't necessarily have the same type of dyslexia, you know, because I was in all first grade, like top sets, but I didn't mean that it was just a different mind and a different way. And I've really had to learn a lot and listen to a lot of podcasts myself to realize that actually it's not a weakness and I shouldn't be ashamed of it. But opening up to the girls about it was quite, again, freeing. And the response was really, really lovely. And yeah, it's kind of in one of them where I feel a lot more comfortable about it now. So then in light of that, talking to them about journaling and how, you know, it's something that didn't come naturally to me. Anyone else who was slightly reluctant about it feels more likely to do it. And it got to a point actually where we even have a section now in the app for journaling, because I found it so, so helpful for me, my mental health.
Yeah, it's a very useful mental health tool that goes with everything you do. And actually Mel Robbins, who is the author of the 5 Second Rule, and now she's got some American High Five book or something, but she's dyslexic. And I think a lot of entrepreneurial people are, like you said, it's a different way of thinking. It's a mind, it's just a different form of intelligence, I believe. So you talk about I love the way you talk about your girls and your family, and you've got the familia. How do you say it again? Familia. Yeah, I love that. That's really nice. And you you know, do you find you have to inspire, well, you don't have to, but do you get feedback from, you know, your audience who will see that you've got grit, resilience, confidence? You know, do you get people coming to you for that extra help? You said you're out to help people.
Yeah.
Do you have people private messaging you or anything like that? Do you think you're fulfilling more than just fitness? I suppose is the short question.
Yeah, for sure. That's been probably the reason why we've I say we've because I see the business as Alex and I and Teddy, but the business and the platforms and the Familia have grown so much. You know, it's way more than just workouts, way, way, way more than just workouts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Like Alex, my partner, often uses this as an example, but, you know, he gets very annoyed, but we'll get into bed and I'll spend at least an hour just going through my direct messages. And across platforms, I get around 1,000 a day, and I'll go through and I'll voice note back. So I'll personally, and obviously I can't do it to everyone, but I try as best as I can just to send. And again, this comes down to my way of communication. I'm much better at talking.
Amazing.
But I'll voice note them back to give, you know, whether it's help, whether it's just a little bit of motivation, whether it's just to say, I've seen you and I thank you and thank you for being part of this journey and this family. Yeah, it's been way more than just fitness. It is a community. It is a friendship. You know, we may all have different goals, but ultimately we have one common goal, which is to be healthy and happy. And it really, really is that simple. We may want to have different aesthetic goals or different mental health goals or looks different ways. But actually, all we really want is to release those happy hormones when we're working out, live a healthy and happy lifestyle. And I think, you know, COVID really helped us realize that with people going in lockdown all around the world and feeling lonely. You know, it was a time where we needed connection and we couldn't get that connection, especially that deeper connection in real life. And the only way of really getting it was in our case through lives where, you know, there were thousands of women all around the world doing that workout together and commenting to each other and motivating and inspiring each other. So
that was the time when you went from the 30,000 to 3 million.
It was
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, you've got Peloton, you've got lots of other massive follower influencers. So what do you think was your magic ingredient that got people hooked in and engaged?
I think honestly one of the biggest things is we were doing it for, you know, 5 years already. So I had 5 years of content already there. And this wasn't something new to me. So I, you know, I often describe it as it's a saucepan of water that's, you know, steadily just starting to simmer. And you've been working. And then finally something comes along and it boils. And that's kind of how I feel about the business and the growth. You know, I didn't change anything. I didn't change my personality. I didn't change what I was delivering. I just was finally discovered. And, you know, I would look at other people in the industry and think, you know, they're amazing. And I'm offering just as much, if not more. And I'm a chartered physiotherapist. And sometimes you're like, why am I not getting my break? But everything happens for a reason. And, you know, it is timing. And I often say this to anyone else, regardless of what it is they're trying to achieve, whether it's to be a YouTuber or, you know, to achieve a certain fitness goal, it just takes time. It takes resilience and perseverance. And I think that was a huge part for us. The other part was, again, as I said, being like unapologetically myself. You know, I learned through lives, when I was doing lives, that I had to show myself in the raw format. I do the workouts with the familia and I am sweating with them. I am struggling with them. I'm giving myself self-talk throughout. Come on, Lily Sabri, just 10 more reps or whatever it is. And they can relate to that pain and that struggle and that like conquering of a workout with me. So I think that helped, taking away from that squeaky clean presentation of something, how you feel something should look, and just being real with it and feeling like an exercise class in your living room. That's kind of the vibe we have.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it does take some serious work to do what you've done. So congratulations, because I'm sure you'll continue. And actually, you are now starting to, I mean, you do lots of things, but yeah, I know your background is English, Irish and Cypriot, and that you have a love of food. And I'm interested to know how your background and what you do has informed your food choices, and also what you're doing next with food and how, you know, where the work is going in regards to providing great ideas for recipes, etc.
Yeah, so background wise, dad is Cypriot, mum is Irish English. And I guess like when we were growing up, we were brought up around food, around the kitchen. It was like the center of the house. Everything was about food. And I think it's been something that subconsciously has always been in me. I love cooking. I love experimenting with different recipes. I genuinely just love food. And it was only recently, over, I guess, the last couple of years, when I was talking to one of my best friends who actually sees, she's in social media as well, in like the body confidence movement side of things. And she's previously suffered with anorexia. And she said to me, "It's so refreshing to come round to yours, to be out for dinner with you, lunches with you, where you just are so free in your choices around food. It's just that pure love and enjoyment of experiencing different foods with friends and family." And I hadn't realized that was just part of my upbringing. That was normal for me. And I think it was a really kind of steep learning curve for me around, okay, not everyone has come from the same background, not everyone experiences and sees food in the same way that I do. And she said to me, "This is a huge, huge opportunity for you to change so many women and men, but you know, especially young girls' lives who don't have a positive relationship with food." So that was when I started showing a little bit more. And when I started, you know, moving away from our brand solely being about the exercise side of things and showing that positive love of food and how you can, you know, still eat delicious foods and still get the results you want through exercise and a healthy lifestyle. So that was when it all started coming in. It was a very, very natural thing for me just to show what I'm already cooking, to start sharing my recipes. Initially, I started sharing all my recipes on the blog, on my website, and it was by far the most visited page on the website. So I was like, wow, okay, you know, people are really loving these recipes. Mm-hmm. From there, I created the anti-inflammatory cookbook, which is a Mediterranean based cookbook. The story behind that is actually I had an injury, a really, really bad ski accident where I ruptured my ACL, MCL, fractured the bone, like a lot of stuff went down in that ski injury. And basically the surgeon in London said to me, "Let's try and do everything we can to manage this conservatively without surgery." So obviously I did everything from the physio side of things down to down to the dot. But the other side of things was the food. So I quite literally went on Amazon. I ordered every single book I could find on how to heal your body naturally. And I started learning more and more and more about anti-inflammatory foods and what foods you can eat to help heal and decrease inflammation. Mm-hmm. And what I learned very quickly is it's what I was already doing, because it's the Mediterranean diet, which is what I've been brought up on. So I was like, wow, okay, thanks, Dad. Everything you cooked for us as kids is exactly what my body's needed. And I kind of then started realizing the science behind it and the why. And I think if you speak to any qualified nutritionist or any doctor who specializes in this field, you know, 9 out of 10 will tell you that the Mediterranean diet is one of the healthiest on the planet. And it's said over and over again, and you know, it's not anything new to hear. It's just, how can you then create simple, fast and easy, delicious recipes using those key ingredients that are going to help you decrease inflammation, which will not only help with your energy levels and how you feel and, you know, how energetic you are, but also your skin, your hair, the internal glow that you have that then shows on the outside. So that's why I created the cookbook. It's got loads of my favorites. There's loads of the family recipes that I was brought up on. So the Mediterranean Cypriot style ones. Mm-hmm. We've then brought all of that into the app as well. So the app is very mixed in the recipe department. Honestly, we cover all cuisines. There is more of a focus on the Mediterranean side of things because that is what comes very naturally to me. It's the stuff that I love cooking and eating. But we do have a mix as well. My partner's Southeast Asian, so we have a lot of like Malaysian food in there, other Southeast Asian food in there, other Mediterranean, Italian. There's quite literally everything on there to help everyone enjoy food and realize that you can eat food and love food and still get results.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Mediterranean diet is going to be like lots of fresh fruit, vegetables, lean meats, fish, oily fish, legumes, exactly. Grains, all. And it's all obviously going to be good and healthy for you and lovely, lovely food. So it's not complicated, yeah. Is it? That's a good, the
it's
great
not,
thing about
it's
it.
Not.
And you've come up with all these wonderful recipes and obviously people, and I totally agree with you, people respond to looking at food as a healthy thing, not as something to be avoided or deprive yourself, yeah. Anything like that. So, yeah. And you've also got some new products coming, food products and home products. So you as a brand, you are expanding, aren't you? You're kind of reaching out to different areas. So tell us about some of those.
Yeah, so I guess we're trying to, well, have, feels very strange saying that because it's all happened so fast, but yeah, we've created a 360 approach to fitness and health. So we have the app, which has, you know, I call it a very holistic app. It does have everything you need from a mental and physical health point of view. Mm-hmm. You've got the food, you've got a physio section in there, which is my section. So I, obviously my background's physio. So we've broken it into injury prevention and injury management. So we've taken some of the most common types of injuries and taught you how to prevent them and manage them in video format. So I'm talking you through it, something as simple as preventing an RSI from working at your desk all day long on a laptop and how to stretch in the correct way around your wrists to prevent that. We then have our certified nutritionist as well. He does video format and he answers a lot of the familiar questions. From everything from, you know, how to prevent and manage bloating to what foods are great to eat during menopause. Like we literally have everything on there. We then have the mental health side of things, which is the habit tracker and the journal. And we have all of the on-demand workout classes that are made into guides, which are personalized to everyone. Same with the meal plans, depending on what their goals are. So, you know, if someone is wanting to lose weight and burn fat and get defined abs, you're going to have a very different program to someone who's trying to gain weight and build muscle. So, yeah, we have a very personalized approach, which is great. So that's the app side of things. We then have the physical equipment. So the equipment is everything from resistance bands to all of our workouts are at home. So training at home to dumbbells and sliders, mats, everything.
Wow.
And the latest launch is Lean Foods, which is like my baby. It's where my passion lies. It's what I absolutely love. So that is bringing basically transparency to fitness products, fitness and health products. I was fed up of seeing healthy, clean, all of these words on the front of packets and then turning them over and seeing how much added sugar there was and all of the added nasties, which I didn't even know what any of the ingredients meant. You know, I'd have to research them and be like, whoa, I'm putting that much sugar in my body. So we've taken all of the additives, all of the nasties out of traditional things like protein powders, protein bars, protein oats, protein pancakes. We have all of these delicious foods that are completely pure and naturally sourced. We source our ingredients from the top all around the world, and then they're manufactured in the UK. All of the products are manufactured in the UK, and we're trying to bring, you know, pure, delicious products to the table that you can eat and know that what you're putting in your body is healthy, it tastes delicious, and it's also going to get you results from a physical point of view as well.
Incredible. I don't know how you've got the energy to do all this.
Neither do I.
It's amazing. No, it really is. Jesus. Like, I mean, you kind of, you know, it's one thing creating recipes and content and, but, you know, all the other brands and the business side of it. I guess in the long term, I often wonder with fitness influencing, is it a sustainable thing to do? But I would imagine that you can, as you create your business, it will evolve. Do you have a long-term plan, or is it kind of just
It's loose. Yeah, it's definitely loose. We'll kind of see where things take us.
Yeah.
From a more personal side, like Alex and I, we're very lucky. We're incredibly aligned. We're both actually quite hippie at heart. We want to keep traveling the world. We, you know, don't see somewhere as home forever. He's from Malaysia. We'll probably end up going back that way. You know, what actually makes me happy is barefoot on a beach. And helping people, and the, you know, we can stream from wherever, which is amazing. We can film from wherever. So that side of things, I think we'll keep exploring the world. From the business and the influencer side of things, does it have a shelf life? I don't think so. I think as long as you keep showing your journey and you're authentic and honest, you know, should we move to the next stage of our life and things change, I will show that. And I'm sure I will relate to a new group of people then. So I don't have any plans in stopping. I would love to decrease my workload a little bit in the future, if I'm completely honest, because I don't think it is sustainable where I'm at. And that's only going to come by finding people who are aligned to the brand message, really, really believe in what I've, you know, grafted to create over the last however many years, and me allowing myself to put trust in other people to join the team as well, whether that's other trainers, which would be absolutely lovely because it would slightly deload me, but I will always be the face of it and always teach the majority. You know, other people helping with recipes. I'm not sure. I don't know yet. But
find
I wouldn't
a way,
say
I'd imagine.
I mean, yeah, it's, you say no to some help.
It's very hard when you are the face of the business and everything. But and you sort of touched on the fact that you had an almost burnt out kind of thing. So have obviously an anti-inflammatory eating habit, or whatever, however you put it, inflammation is a huge part of every disease, isn't it? And that you could, because you keep yourself so fit and healthy, you keep inflammation down, you've helped yourself. But do you have to watch burnout?
Yes, and I really struggle to switch off. I'm incredibly driven, again, internally. So I put these expectations on myself, and I, you know, I have a very high work ethic and standard that I want to kind of live up to. And I think unless you're in it and doing what I do, of which there's very few people really who you can go to for advice, you know, because it's not like we can say, oh, I want to achieve what this person achieved 10, 15, 20 years ago, because this is a totally new field, you know. Influencers and YouTubers weren't around then. This isn't a normal thing to be doing. And I think sometimes I do wish that I kind of had like that mentor figure who has been through it, because it's hard to know where the boundaries lie. And it's also hard to stick to the boundaries because there's a pressure. I don't know if it's necessarily from other people. I actually think I put it on myself, and potentially I would have it regardless of what field I'm in. But I think because the eyes are on you, the pressure is bigger for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But you, I suppose in a funny way, because you're under that pressure and because you're having to come up with solutions, you're coming up with even better ideas for people who are under just normal pressure.
Yeah.
Healthy habits, journaling, exercise, getting the nutrition right. It seems like for every barrier or battle you face, you've come up with a solution and then shared it with everybody else.
Oh, and many failures in between.
I'm sure, but you know, that's what happens.
Incorrect one.
It's incredible what you're doing. And I think I'm going to go and check out your Mediterranean food recipes because it's something I love as well. And I mean,
oh, amazing.
It's kind of, it's just fantastic, and keep going with it because, you know, everybody needs to improve their mental, physical health and find ways to do it. And I think if you're doing that, you'll find it will continue, won't it?
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so. It's all felt a little bit like a dream over the last year and a half, and none of it has even slightly sunk in. Honestly, it really hasn't, because it's just, you just keep going, you know.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my friends about it, and she said, just be careful because the goalposts keep going up, and you've got to just take a second to appreciate what you've done for so many people already. And I think you get so in this, you know, like rat race, really. So that's why, I want to take a bit more time to just try and appreciate it all. And
I'm sure that'll be useful, what you learn from that. I mean, I was interested that you were talking about a cookbook and putting together, and you mentioned you were dyslexic. So I mean, I'm guessing there may be a book in the offing, but you might.
Well, I love the idea of the cookbook side of things. I really do. And, you know, I guess showing what I've learned myself, that's certainly, because I actually really, I love writing up the recipes. And what I'm very good at is more of the emotional writing. So speaking about what's come from my heart and what I've learned, that I'm very good at. But the factual stuff is definitely not.
Oh, well, someone else can do that for you. You get the emotion.
I can say it.
And you know, it's been brilliant talking to you. I can see why you're so successful. It's about being, I mean, the one big thing for any influencer is to be authentic, and you clearly are. So, you know, it's been lovely to chat to you. And people can find you, obviously, on YouTube.
YouTube, Instagram, across the platforms, it's all the same. So my name, Lily Sabri. So LillySabri, Sabri. So that's the same across Instagram, YouTube, all the workouts there, all the recipes, everything. And then the website is Lean with Lily, L-E-A-N, which is the name of the app as well, Lean.
So you'll probably have 4 million after this balance podcast.
Well, that would be lovely, I have to say. I mean, to be honest, I am so happy with where we're at. Like, as I said, none of it was, if we weren't to grow one more subscriber from today here on out, I am more than content. We've got, fantastic. It's been amazing.
Well, listen, thank you so much. And, you know, I'll get to watch your progress with interest. So thank you very much for your time.
It was so lovely to meet you. And I can't wait to put this out to the world. I'll let everyone know when it's out and live.
That'd be brilliant. Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.